Every journey, they say, begins with but a single step. Now that's almost profound in its simplicity, but if the journey is 800 miles around the beaches and bogs and wetlands of Cook Inlet, and if the steps you're taking are dictated by a pair of curious toddlers, well, the whole endeavor is still mighty profound, but it's no longer quite so simple. Seldovia author and adventurer Erin McKittrick gave a taste of that kind of journey at a recent presentation for her latest book, Mudflats and Fish Camps, 800 Miles Around Alaska's Cook Inlet, which she wrote after the family's 2013 trip.
And so I'm going to do a short reading from that early section of the book that maybe gives you a sense of some of those challenges. Despite the supposed progress of spring, it seemed that the land was sinking into a deeper and deeper cold. In our bedtime story, Ziggy the Raven found fire. On the third morning beyond the lodge, a swirl of wind turned all the turquoise and black and gray into dull and roiling white. "My longest finger is cold," Katmai complained. "The fingers on the other hand are cold too. I can't walk fast on the grass." The knobs of brown ryegrass were slicked down with a lumpy coat of salt ice. Katmai slipped down from the top of one, his knees in the slush, face screwed up to yell again. "I can't." "Here." I grabbed his mitten, pulled him up to his feet, then up into my arms, hugging him awkwardly against my chest as Latuya rode on my back. It was a hunched over, stumbling sort of hurry, feeling out the slippery grass with my boots, seeking the relatively straightforward footing of the gravel shore. Beyond the shelter of the last windward cliff, the air pierced my eyes, whistled ice into my nostrils, stung so fiercely I could barely even look into the storm. I could barely look at anything at all. Katmai walked backward, sideways, hollering a refusal to go any direction but straight downwind. The shrieking was in stereo, one strain from over my shoulder, the other from the end of my arm. "It's too windy," Latuya yelled. "Ah, never, never, it's too windy. Ah, go in the trees." "We are heading for the trees. See? They're right over there. We're almost there."
With her husband, Brentwood Higg Higman, and then 2-year-old daughter Latoya and 4-year-old son Katmai, McKittrick says this trek and this book are about more than simply documenting the trials and tribulations of such a walk. It's also about getting a sense of Cook Inlet's future from the people who call it home. They had lots of conversations about that during the trip, and McKittrick says the outlook wasn't always very rosy.
So we asked people to speculate about the future of Cook Inlet, and what you end up getting is a lot of what people are worried about. And we don't have time, I didn't have time to put all the answers in my book or today, but we are going to just read a few quotes from some of the early part of the journey. "There's only about 30 speakers of Sugpiat left, and that's dwindling. The younger people know some of the words, but the ability to have a conversation is lost. Everyone who fishes salmon comes in and says it was a bad year, and as that keeps happening, I wonder why they aren't more scared. Well, I'm scared. I'm scared for my kids. Everyone will find his own way. The jobs won't be the same, but something will work out. Well, they're trying as hard as they can to get rid of us. They're going to regulate us fishermen out of existence for the tourists. Maybe the oil companies will have chosen new leaders for us by then. Or maybe we'll run out of oil and the Okies and Texans will leave and we'll be back where we started, when we wrote a good constitution. There won't be so many people then. This state was a better place before oil."
So if there's a bit of a feeling of doom and gloom, perhaps it's only insofar as people feel their way of life slipping away, or potentially slipping away. But you don't get that sense from Erin McKittrick, especially when it comes to what a journey like this can give her own kids.
So what do I hope they get out? I hope that they keep a sense of curiosity about the world, however they choose to explore it in whatever places they choose. I hope they'll remember that, you know, you go out, you start exploring, you'll see things, and that you should be curious about the world. And I hope they'll keep a little bit of that adaptability and problem solving too, because I think one of the things you get when you're out there in the wild is you get to realize that you can't look it up, you don't know the answer. You're like, you get up to this cliff and we're all sitting there, parents too, saying, "Oh, I wonder how we can get around this cliff." And sometimes the answer is that it's easy, and sometimes the answer is that it's hard, and sometimes the answer is that it's impossible, and you have to come up with a different solution. You have to go a different way. And so some of that problem solving and the adaptability to know that you can live in different ways, however you choose. You can choose to live in New York City if you want to, but, and you'll adapt to that, and you can choose to live way out in the bush and build your own cabin if you want to, and you'll adapt to that too.
You can find mud flats and fish camps 800 miles around Alaska's Cook Inlet at your favorite local bookstore. McKittrick says after they spend some time building some new trails in Kachemak Bay State Park this summer, the next big adventure is down to South America for a whole new set of challenges and opportunities.